You know, I wish that I was handier around the house. Those were the original lyrics. People don't know that.
Hey, we're about ready to light this party up. Rick Springfield on the line with us, musician, actor, author. How the heck are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
We got to light this party up.
And you're the guy with the lighter. So light us. Rick, things are good. The music sounds good. You got new music coming out. The acting career is going well. Things are good for you, right?
Yeah, we're just about to go out on tour. This is what the new record.
And Arcata Theater is one of the stops in St. Charles on Friday, March 18th. Hope you're not hungover from the big St. Patty's Day celebration for Rick Springfield. Do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well, yeah, I have a few drinks.
That's it. You know, really everyone but the Irish celebrate.
That's how it is. Rick, we could talk to you about music all day long, but I have to bring this up. In True Detective last year, you played one of the creepiest doctors I've ever seen in my life. How did they decide you're the guy to play that creepy, creepy doctor?
I read for the part. I read for another part, and they'd already offered it to someone, so they liked the reading, and they wanted me to play Dr. Pitmore, and it was, you know, it's always great to play against type. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dr. Noah Drake was not that creepy.
No.
From General Hospital.
No, he's not creepy. This is the creepy side of Noah Drake, I guess.
If they opened a practice together, Drake and Pitlore, do you think Pitlore would get any business at all? Because I don't.
Well, he's more a psychologist, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Rocket Science is the new album. It's out now. Light This Party Up is what we started the interview off with. That song rocks. And I mean this in a great way. You should sell that to, like, NFL or NASCAR, because it just sounds like it could be in a promotional commercial. It is rocking.
Yeah, it's. I wrote that actually in Tahiti. I was on vacation, and there's no way to you can't feel down when you're in Tahiti. So I always take my guitar with me, and I actually wrote it with Ricky and the Flash in mind, because they were looking for a final song for the film. But I think it was a little too rock and roll for Meryl Streep's character to have believably written. So they went with another one, which I think really worked. But I like the song, so I kept it for my record.
Rick, please tell us that at some point you gave Meryl Streep some acting advice. There had to have been a time where you said, "Hey, try this. Maybe see if you can do this." That must have happened, right?
Of course.
Of course it did.
And she played her own guitar, right?
I helped her with the guitar. Yeah. And, you know, this guitar thing is, she'd ask questions. I always work with an A-list list like that. I mean, you just learn so much working with an actor like that.
Yeah, yeah,
that was my dream. I wish I would have just been a rock and roller and not had a family, and maybe I'll just bail on them now.
That's a beautiful thought.
Never say never.
That's true. So you have the new album out. You've also helped Dave Grohl fight Foo, haven't you?
Yes, yes. We had a great time doing the South City doc. That was amazing.
That is his documentary, basically about the San Fernando Valley recording studio that was your home away from home.
Yeah, Sound City. It was where I used to hang out all the time. Stevie Nicks and I would hang out there all the time because we didn't really have homes. So we hung out there trying to, you know, hoping to make it. And Dave tells a great story about it in the documentary. It's a difficult story to tell, the whole analog versus digital thing, but to a layman, but he did such a great job, and I think getting us all together to write songs was a smart move as well.
Rick, talk about the evolution of your music. What can you do today that maybe you couldn't quite pull off 25 or 30 years ago?
I'm a lot more free to just play and write whatever I want to play. Once you're going to get known for a groove, it's sometimes difficult to get the audience to move with you when you want to change. I did an album called Tao that was very different in 1985 than the one that had come before. And it gained fans, but I think it also lost fans because it was so different. It was, you know, very, very different musically and lyrically. Now it's just I put out a record when I have enough songs, and and, you know, have new music to play when we play live, so it doesn't feel just like a retro show. And that's important and exciting for me, too. It keeps it fresh.
17 U.S. top 40 hits, and this one, in my opinion, one of the best ones ever. Jesse's Girl. Obviously, you're going to whip that out at the Arcata, right, on March 18th?
We always whip out Jesse's Girl.
Now, Rick, I had not heard this until just now. I think this is pretty good.
This song, yeah, it's not a bad. Fancy chorus.
Yeah.
But it spans the age groups, because my son is 16 and he's a musician. And I said, oh, we're talking to Rick Springfield. And he's like, oh, my God, Jesse's Girl? Really? Mm-hmm. So it's still out there.
Yeah, it is. It's taken a life of its own, on which I'm proud of, but I don't know if I had much to do with, you know, once I wrote it and recorded it on its own after that. But it has picked up speed, certainly, as time has gone on, and a writer hopes for, you know, a song like that.
And you are honored on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and a special location on the walk?
Yeah, it's outside the Clear Channel building, but it's actually just around the corner from where I used to live when I first came here in 1972 from Australia. So it's a cool thing. I used to walk along Hollywood Boulevard looking for the Aussies who had stars there, like Rod Taylor and Joan Sutherland, and, you know, so it's one of the old last of the old Hollywood kind of awards.
Rick, since you're Australian and since you're a musician, can you help me with my dream, which is reassembling the Bay City Rollers? Is there any way you can help me with that?
I could probably find a tartan.
All right. That's a start.
They screwed up tartan for everybody, dude.
Yes, they did. Yes,
Come
they
on,
did.
Seriously? I don't think so. I actually did a show in Australia. They had a big kind of... a group show with like all these artists that were on the show called Countdown in Australia, and they toured, did a small arena tour of Australia, and the lead singer, what was his name?
Derek something?
He was a very nice guy, actually. He was very nice, but they had him on that, but he wasn't wearing tartan anymore, so maybe maybe reform them without the tartan and the big hair.
Maybe.
You kind of had that hair as Noah Drake, not quite as spiky, but definitely mullet-like.
It wasn't big. It was too coiffed for a doctor.
It was a hot doctor. I'm sorry.
Anyone who spent that much time in his hair wasn't operating on me, I'll tell you that.
That schedule's grueling, though, isn't it, Rick? You don't have any time to rehearse. You get 12, 15 pages a day, and it's just you better do it and do it right the first time, right?
Yeah, it was brutal. People don't realize it's actually the hardest acting, producing, directing, and writing gig there is, because it's all talking heads, and they're going to, you know, churn out 60 pages and do 60 pages a day, which is crazy. I mean, yeah. I did Rick in the Flash or Californication or Detective, you know, you get like maybe three and a three quarter pages a day. So you really get a chance to work on the character with the salts. For me, anyway, it was always about just line memorization. I couldn't get past that, just having to remember all the words. So that's not what acting is about, but that's as far as I could take it. But there are people on soaps that are amazing at it.
Talking about remembering all the lines, I mean, how do you even do that with your catalog of songs? Because I know even Mick Jagger has like an iPad in front of him, because they make iPad stands now,
sure.
So you can scroll through the lyrics.
Right. That's what we do. I know all the old ones, but for new ones, I definitely need lyrics. I actually, in the Sound City, we did some concerts with all the Sound City people, and I went back. I was backstage when Stevie Nicks was on, and saw that she had two scrolling monitors for one of her old songs. So I don't feel so bad having one.
Isn't that amazing? Because really, you think about it, how can all these musicians, I mean, really, like the Stones, all these hits, how in the world could they remember it?
Yeah,
especially if you change, I mean, the songs you do over and over, you know, it's not a problem. But when you change songs out, it's pretty mind-numbing, the amount of stuff you have to remember.
Rick Springfield on the line with us. The new album is called Rocket Science. It's great. You can get it. It's everywhere. You're going to be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles Friday, March 18th. You can go to oshows.com to get tickets. And you can also check out Rick's website at rickspringfield.com. Now, this tour has got you coming to St. Charles the day after St. Patrick's Day. Are you going to find time after the tour or during the tour to keep up with your acting?
Yeah, I just did a movie called Traces, actually, and we're now looking for a new TV project. So writing on TV is just amazing now, and I'm very excited about doing something there.
And just with all the Netflix and Hulu, TV has just exploded again.
Totally, yeah. But the writing is first class. I mean, it's all great writing. I remember doing acting on TV shows in the 70s, and even in the 70s, I'm going, dude, this is so lame. who'd believe this, you know? Like, but now the writing is just, it's fabulous. It's gigantic.
I kind of attribute that to shorter seasons, because can't believe how short the seasons of shows are now.
Also, competition. I mean, there's a lot of different platforms now. You know, I did Rockford Files and Incredible Hulk and Wonder Woman and all those shows, and they just recycle the same stories. They just recycle them from show to show.
That's true. Yeah. Although, how many people can Wonder Woman save? I mean, there's not very many different situations to be in.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, when you put on that outfit, saving someone wasn't really the issue.
Rick, good luck with everything.
She looked pretty damn good in that outfit.
Oh, so good.
What was that commercial where she was coming out of the water and the actual words were right at breast level?
Yeah.
So you looked at I can't remember what that was, but yeah. I always said she had pretty eyes, and every guy I talked to said, what color are they?
She had eyes?
Yeah. Didn't notice.
Such a pleasure to talk to you.
She's a great, really great person, actually.
Linda Carter.
A couple of the Wonder Womans, and she was very sweet to me.
Good.
And do you still keep in touch with all these people you acted with?
No.
No?
Because they're jerks.
Such a pleasure to talk to you.
The musicians. No, actually, my best friend's an actor. He's Doug Davidson on The Young and the Restless. He's been playing Paul Williams for like 35 years. And he's one of the good ones. He's brilliant at it.
So with all these reunions and everything, you know, with Fuller House and all these people getting back together, is there ever going to be a General Hospital reunion of sorts?
Well, General Hospital never went away.
It's still running strong.
It's still on.
Yeah.
You can't reunion if you never go away.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was still on. I have a life now.
I know, it is. Yeah, I mean, they've asked me to come back a couple of times. I went back for the 50th anniversary just for old time's sake. But, I mean, it is a lot of work, and it's all line memorization. I don't really have, you know, that much free time anymore.
Well, we'll be looking for you on the big screen, the little screen, and on the stage at the Arcata Theater on Friday, March 18th in St. Charles. Rock on. You're doing it for all these years.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks. Have a good rest of the week.
That's Rick Springfield.
Hubba.
That's who that is. That's Rick Springfield. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve with the news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.